This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. If I were to ask you to think of some of the landmark dates in the development of the cookie, what would come to mind? Maybe 1938, when Ruth Graves Wakefield of Whitman, Mass. Created the Toll House recipe? Or maybe 1974, when Oreo introduced the labor-saving double stuff version of its sandwich cookie. Someday, maybe we'll include 2024 in that list. And that's because scientists from Southern Illinois University Carbondale have developed a cookie made of plastic. Well, sort of. They're called Microbites. They were made in part with a grant from NASA's Deep Space Food Challenge, and their precursor ingredients include biomass waste and, yes, plastics. Joining us now to talk more about this is one of the scientists behind Microbites. Lahiru Jayakoti is an associate professor in the SIU College of Agriculture, Life, and Physical Sciences. Lahiru, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, Brian, thank you for having me for your show.
Listeners, you can join us today by giving a call at 800-222-9455. Would you eat a cookie or some other food that had plastic in its ingredient list? What questions do you have about this? 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. All right, so why make these cookies in the first place? What was behind this?
The project is starting in 2021. My primary research area was plastic upcycling. So that's mean you making a value-added product from plastic. So at the time, the NASA had this grand challenge, what called the Deep Space Food Challenge. They want to send the astronaut to Mars. It would take like 3 years. And you know that ships have a very limited resource. So how we can survive these astronauts? We have to grow something to eat them, right? So they created this Deep Space Food Challenge. At the time, I'm doing this plastic upcycling work, and also my research are focused on addressing the global issue, including the hunger and the climate change and the plastic pollution, obviously. And I'm very lucky to have a tremendous scientist around me. I would like to mention them, Scott Hamilton Breen. He's my colleague in microbiology department. He's pioneering the fermentation. And also Ken B. Anderson, he's a professor in geology, and he invented a very important process called OHD, oxidative heterothermal dissolution. So this process can break down any kind of organic waste. I come to that point in a minute. And then I have a Matt Mackerel. He's the fermentation scientist and the chemist, and he is the director of Fermentation Science Institute in Southern Illinois University. And also I have a couple of other colleagues here. Guyan, he's a professor in engineering. He's very good at communication engineering. And Dr. Shivakumar, physics specialist, he know more about the Raman spectrometry. Now, I had this amazing team in here. They have expertise on the field that I want to create something very special in this Deep Space Food Challenge. And also we are collaborating with UIUC, University of Illinois. We have working with Dr. Ivona Jesuak, and Rena, she's from University of Stony Brook. Both of them are specialists on polymer synthesis as well as 3D printing. And I have a very good collaboration with a food chemist from University of Nebraska. He's a Kaustas Majumdar. So what I'm trying to say is,
it's a big team. I think we got the picture. It is a very big team working, as all scientific progress is. It's not Einstein alone at a patent desk.
Because this is a huge challenge. I realize we need to address it with the a strong team. Actually, we had a team, and we came up with a process called the Microbite. So, you know that the microbes are been with us for a long time, and we use microbes for the fermentation. So how we can use them to create something special using the plastic? So that's how we get into this process. The deep sweat food challenge was the ideal scenario for us to, get ourselves and create something special. So
yeah. So before we get into how the plastic, how that process actually works, I should say we need to take a break in a couple of minutes here. So I'm timing this a little carefully. But what was the challenge of the NASA? You mentioned that they have to go in space. People could be in space for up to 3 years. They have to figure out how to, you can't necessarily, it's a lot of weight to pack food for 3 years, and astronauts are going to get tired of eating freeze-dried food after 3 years. What were some of the parameters that were laid out for you briefly?
Yeah, so you have to put a system that is very compact, that's fit into the spaceship, and also you have to use a very minimum energy, water, and you need to minimize the waste generation. So we actually come up with the system. Our microbiome system is the least water use system, and our system is about 0.25 square meter that was sufficient to feed 3 astronauts that onboarding to go into the Mars within 3 years. So you can imagine that we are using a very minimum energy, water, and the input for us is the waste. So we created a zero waste food production process for NASA missions.
Fascinating. A quarter of a square meter, so that's maybe about a square foot, and it's going to feed 3 astronauts on this mission. All right, we're going to pause there. We will continue our conversation with Lahiru Jayakoti, who is part of a team, as we heard, at Southern Illinois University Carbondale and elsewhere, that has developed a cookie that includes, among its ingredients, plastic and biomass waste. We're going to talk about how that process works and how palatable they may or may not be when we return. If you have a question, 800-222-9455 is the number to join us. That's 800-222-9455. This is the 21st Show. More to come.
C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C.
And cookie starts with C, P is for plastics, and that is what we are talking about today on the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you to Cookie Monster for our intro music there. We are talking with Lahiru Jayakoti, who is an associate professor in the College of Ag, Life, and Physical Sciences at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. He and colleagues from SIU and elsewhere have developed a cookie that has among its precursor ingredients plastic. This was part of, as we were hearing before the break, it made part possible in part with a grant from NASA's Deep Space Food Challenge, which is looking for ways to feed astronauts on potentially extremely long multi-year journeys into space in a way that's lightweight, is not resource intensive, does not consume a lot of water or energy, and doesn't take up a lot of space. And so we are talking about that with him. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. All right, so Lahiru, I have a plastic bottle in my hands right now. Had a beverage in it this morning. How do I get from this to a cookie that somebody could potentially eat?
Correct. So we actually take that bottles from Walmart. And we could able to degrade or dissolve this plastic using the oxidative hydrothermal dissolution. That's an invented process in SIU, has a patent, and there is a pilot scale industrial process being developed by Professor Anderson. He's the part of our team. So you only use oxygen, water, and heat with a little bit of a pressure. You could able to dissolve anything. I mean, including your plastic bottle you have in your hand, and also like a corn stover or the Apple comb, those are the waste from, you know, day-to-day agricultural events. So we could take that and break it down into a liquid form. Okay.
Okay, I think I get it. So oxidative, oxygen, hydrothermal, water and heat, and dissolution. You dissolve. You take water, heat, and dissolve plastic into, I think you call it a slurry.
Yes, absolutely. Right. So it's slurry. It's like a tea. Okay. Now, these dissolved compounds are accessible to the microbes we want. So we are creating a special yeast strain. So we're actually engineering them or changing their genetic makeup to eat this new food for them, right? So the plastic is not generally edible by the microbes. That's why we are having a long time to degrade it in the environment. Now we tailoring or designing the yeast, that is baker yeast, you know, that you're using for baking cookies. Generally in your house you have these baker yeast. It's called, you know, we generally regardless as these are genetically safe, so we use them and designed to eat this oxidative hydrothermal dissolution, plastic and biomass. And then that yeast can convert this compound from the plastic and biomass into a protein. And we can go into different other chemicals through this process, but we primarily focus on protein because one of the criteria at the Deep Space Food Challenge, we want to give enough protein for the astronaut. So we here envision that we could create a protein that ideal for the human. And we actually did initial evaluation. It's the protein are very similar to the protein you can get from egg or the soy. And the process is not toxic. We actually did a human epithelium study at Nebraska University, Dr. Kaustaus show that this process not create anything harm to those cells. That means you can eat those protein. So that's how we get the plastic into protein. And the next thing is, you know, that if you go to airplane and you having a food, you're not taste the food as you taste on Earth. So the reason is in high elevation, your sensory sensation are different. And also think about when you enjoy the food, you want to have somebody around you, family and talking, blah, blah, blah. How's the astronaut? They have not that chance. So we think, okay, we need to connect them with their families a little bit. The way we thought it, okay, how about sending a recipe to a 3D printer? And how about making a very attractive shape of food with the 3D printing technology? So we added the next piece, that's a 3D printing. So we got those protein out from the plastic, and then we added few other things into that recipe that make it palatable and more flavorful cookie. So we added few aroma compounds, spices, and we 3D printed this cookie into the shape we would like.
Which looks like the little micros there, the mu, is it mu, I think, is the symbol
yes,
for micro?
That's it, that's the call, yes. It's a micro, right?
The Greek letter, our micro idea is
tiny microbes make these cookies, and that tiny microbes enable to give you the protein you wanted. So that's the key idea behind that mic.
So you're taking plastic, you're applying this OHT, this oxidative hydrothermal dissolution. You sort of melt and create a plastic slurry here. You apply yeast like we use for baking, and that breaks it down. And then you combine that with spices and other aromatics. And ultimately it prints something that comes out looking like a cookie, and the ones that were in the picture I saw had this little mu micro symbol on them in a circle. Okay, I gotta ask, what does it taste like?
Yep. Okay, very good question. So the next thing is how it tastes like, right? So we did a blind sensory analysis. We have a expertise here at a Fermentation Science Institute, Marta Abigail. She's an expertise on sensory analysis. So she conducted these tests for us, and we had a very good turnaround, and the people coming from, you know, different ages, and they going through this sensory analysis. So other cookies had a hedonic scale. That's a scale using for determine these cookies' accessibility or the preference by the human subject. So other cookies had a hedonic scale 6.5. It's a really good one. So some cases, you know, if you take the aroma or the appearance of a scale is more than 6.5. That is really good for a cookie. So we were very excited about it. And also, we did analysis chemically, you know, what's in this cookie. We verified it with a third party accredited laboratory. Not only ourselves did this, but we did in a third party accredited laboratory to see how good this cookie, how safe this cookie. And we have that all data. Now, one thing I want to tell you that we still waiting for the USDA approval to eat this cookie, because we cannot have the human subject tested in our universities without the approval to eat it. So we are very excited, excitingly waiting to eat this cookie in the near future, but based on the chemical analysis and all the other tests that we did, it is safe to eat and it should taste good. And
But
it smelled good, really.
you haven't snuck one down just to see?
I would ask you to eat that.
All right. You know, I once had a professor who remarked to me, you know, the remarkable vision of somebody who could look at a light bulb and see, you know, a flat screen television. This is obviously a very early version of this technology, but I gotta say, I was reminded, I don't know if you're a fan of Star Trek, but they had the food replicators where you could walk up and say, chocolate cake, extra frosting, and it would sort of create it for you out of whatever matter they had in their system there. Do you see that possibility coming from this sort of work?
Absolutely. That's our motivation. This is really a friction story. That's a beginning for us. So we are creating something that in a friction story. So we're very excited now. Our idea is not limited by this cookie. This is a proof of concept. Again, I told you, give me that bottle so we can convert that bottle into a cookie right away, because we have that proof of concept. Now we're going to expand these into a different type of food, and also not only the food. Sometimes you can go with food ingredients like vitamins and other stuff, and also you can create a different shape and different food type. For example, we would like to create a milk. I would say the cowless milk, because this technology enable us to create a milk protein. Then you can imagine what kind of a product we can make, right? So we're trying to expand our concept. We have the proof of concept here. We now working on expanding into a different type of food ingredient and food products.
Amazing. Let's get a question from a caller on the phone. Paul is calling from Urbana. Paul, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
No, thanks for taking the call. I'm curious. You're working with, I guess, the simple polyethylene. Now, a lot of plastics in the polymerization process use chemicals that might not be the best to have in the mix. And at the first, I was thinking maybe you start with special plastics, you know, storage containers for the ship and that. But that's the gist of the question is, you can't imagine that all of the plastics on the market now. Is this a polyethylene you're working with?
Exactly. So the polyethylene, you have a great question. So this question is coming, you know, every time when I go to a conference or I talk to anybody, this question is coming. You know, even in the plastic bottle, we have a different type of chemical, right? So polymers added into that major metric. So I think this technology is primarily we are looking for developing in a food grade plastic. For example, we are using the material for the food packaging. So that's the type of plastic we can go with this process directly. In future, if you want to get into the other plastic, we need to have an extra level of processing to get rid some of the bad chemical out of the concept. Now, we tested a few type of plastic here, including polyethylene terephthalate and polyurethane and polyethylene. Now, these can be directly going to our system, and we could able to certify that our product are okay or fine and safe to eat with those chemicals containing polymers. Now, in the future, I believe we are now transition stage to go into biodegradable type plastic, right? So we actually looking into that possibility. So if you have a biodegradable plastic with a less hazardous chemical, and that can be get into our system very, very easily. So, for example, polylactic-based plastic material or the polybutanol adipate, those are the very close, or the polyacetone-based plastic, biodegradable plastic. Our system could accept those. And I think it is a transition stage. Right now, we are limiting into few of plastic being tested. I would say we've been tested few plastic, and we want to test and continue this process development for other plastic. But one thing I want to tell you that we cannot accept the plastic from landfill. You know that it's containing other heavy metals
Yeah, so
and the other.
limits on what plastic you can
Yes,
bring in.
yes,
Yeah.
yes.
All right. Well, we are unfortunately out of time. Lahiru Jayakody, this is fascinating. I feel like every now and then you hear one of these stories that makes you feel like you're really moving quickly into the future. And I look forward to seeing where this goes next. And I do hope you will keep in touch. And when you do get that FDA approval, I'd love to taste one of these things. So, Lahiru Jayakody is an associate professor at SIU Carbondale. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Brian. It's an honor to be on your program.
And that is our time for today. Coming up tomorrow, more Democrats are publicly calling on President Biden to give up his reelection campaign, but the president says his party ought to stick with him. He's not going anywhere. What do you think? Leave us a voicemail at 217-321-21. Let us know. Should Biden stay? Should he go? The number again, 217-300-2121. You can find that number as well as our email address and all the ways to get in touch with us at our website, 21stshow.org. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you tomorrow.